It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics.
Good morning. Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
This is Emily. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am doing fine on this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, sunny beginning to a string of sunny days.
I know. It's just almost frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But we're going to look back toward one day in particular, and a very short period of time when the Borough Assembly in a special meeting met on Tuesday. Now, there were other meetings that happened, the school board meeting on Wednesday. There were a lot of meetings that led up to that. But it was a time of high drama, actually, because in that short 18 minutes, the Borough Assembly approved a budget and made a kind of a dramatic reversal of something that had been happening. So where would you like to begin?
Well, let's begin with what we know is the result.
Okay.
It's so fun to kind of go back and think about the drama and the backdoor, minutiae that happened to get here. But let's just start with what we know.
Okay.
And that is that there was a meeting on Monday, the 23rd at 4 o'clock with the borough. And that meeting is really where I should have been, could have been.
Right.
Because when we went to the Tuesday meeting, it lasted all of 19 minutes. The budget was approved and unanimously, 6-0. Assembly member Bernier wasn't there, so that's why it wasn't 7-0. Unanimously, the budget passed, which was a really good thing. In this budget, they lowered the mill rate because of the increase in property rates, rather than kind of shocking the borough citizens with a higher rate. They were able to decrease the mill rate where the area and non-area wide property taxes should only increase about $42 per property owner.
Right. And the background numbers that I had roughly were that the assessed value, which was something that many homeowners look at, the average was somewhere in the neighborhood of 13%. So even if you kept things as it had been and you're using that base as a value with the same mill rate, you would have had a significant increase in what you would be paying in property taxes. But you're right. What happened is by lowering the mill rate to what I understand is possibly the lowest rate since the 1980s, a very low rate in any case. The end result was this fairly small increase for any individual, maybe 42
yeah.
bucks, right?
And I think that's what the borough is partially, they're proud of a lot of things, but they're really proud that they worked hard to offset that dramatic increase in property value. The mill rate now is under 9. It's about a 10.5% decrease from the mill rate in previous years. So by doing that, they were able to fund the infrastructures that the borough needs without burdening the taxpayer too much. The news, one piece of the news within this budget, of course, is the biggest slice of the borough assembly's budget, which is the school district. It was kind of a win-win-win.
Right.
There was a number being tossed around. 11 plus million dollars that had been set aside by the district for the construction of Mat-Su Central. So there had been talk about reducing the amount the borough was going to give the school district by about that much for transportation. And that's when things got muddy, because it wasn't just transportation. It was school safety. Transportation. We've got complaints all the time about how to get into school safely. Shaw Elementary is an example. A lot of traffic going right up and down Wesela Fishick, which is a two-lane road. Valley Pathways, in and out of pathways on Palma Wasilla with no stoplight, things like that. So there was talk about using some of that $11 million for that type of construction. Well, because the state is going to be able to get some help from this, you know, the borough's going to get some help from the state, and because there was some confusion of how the district can use its budget and how it can, disseminate money from one area to another, there was some confusion. So communication was cleared up between both parties, both bodies of government, and in the end, the borough was able to fund transportation. And Mike Brown said, you know, let's call it transportation because it includes pathways. The transportation budget just isn't roads.
Right.
It's a lot of things involved in that. So they're able to do that, plus the district was able to have that $11 million still put into their allotment. And so now MatSU Central can begin, because they're going to build a new building, getting out of a 30-year lease, which is costing a lot of money with, you know, it's like renting with no equity, right?
Right.
And so they're going to be able to begin the design process. And then there will be probably a ballot measure for a bond to build, to pay for the new MatSU Central, which in the end saves everybody money because it's going to cost about the same amount as it is to lease, if that makes all sense.
I think it does.
So the other thing that the borough was able to do was really put some muscle behind recreation and tourism. There's over $1 million allotted for improvement at GPRA and Ski Talk, and that $1 million also goes to other places for recreation and tourism. So that's a highlight, I think, that gets lost sometimes.
Right.
When because schools are schools can be an emotional topic. The other thing my notes say is that listeners, I think as we watch this budget, we pay attention to it right now in May, when it's going to get passed, because it's a very, very large number.
Got it.
You know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. But it's in April, the first week in April, that the high level view of the budget is presented. And that gives not a simplistic, but a understandable, you know, comprehensible view of how the budget process goes and what's involved in the budget and the pieces of the budget. And so I would encourage listeners next year to not wait till May to be worried about the budget, but pay attention to that first week in April.
Got it. Yep. It's we're doing some of that work by looking at the end result and then saying, okay, we can roll back and pick up pieces. But if you follow along, you have a much better idea of understanding how we got to a particular place as well.
Yeah. You know, the state is still flat funding us. The state, it's influxed one-time money, which will equate to about $7.5, maybe $8 million more for the district. And starting, not next year, but the year after, they've increased the BSA by about $30 per student, which will give the district about $1 million more. So that's nice. But you can't say the state is forward funding. And both the borough and the district have applauded the borough assembly. The borough assembly applauded themselves and the district has for actually forward funding
right.
the district. And the borough continues to fill the gap that the state coffer is unable to.
And maybe at this time it's important to remind that even though the borough has done its work, the assembly done a good job and completed their budget work, and the legislature has gaveled out, we still have lingering out there the question whether the governor will approve all that the legislature did. I know that the assembly, there were assembly members, I think Deputy Mayor Jesse Sumner in particular, conveyed that he urged the governor to pass without vetoing those items that were providing monies to school districts, including full funding for a variety of things. And so we still sort of have to have that happen, the governor signing off on the budget to breathe a sigh of relief.
Right. And within that is that shadow of the bond debt reimbursement.
Right.
If that gets vetoed, we're back to square one.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount of money. Not good. The other thing the borough did was the district gets so much money from the BSA, but because of the formula, because it's kind of a complicated equation there, the district gives back to the state about $1.6 million. So the borough decreased the mill rate percentage. It's always been about 6.3 mill rate of their entire budget would go to the district. They decreased that by some, but the compromise was they would pony up that $1.6 million that the district has to give back to the state. So that was another win for the district.
Very good. Right. Well, the other aspect, it is pretty easy to watch the video, since it's 18 plus minutes of action, and the approval for the budget itself came very early, about 6 minutes in. But there was also fairly dramatic actions taken by two members of the assembly, Yunt and Sumner, who withdrew their amendments that essentially had reduced the amount of money that was going to go to the school district. And so that $11-plus million is now restored. And that was kind of the important thing from my standpoint watching. Yes, the borough's budget had been pretty much locked in with all the work they had been doing, but the somewhat last five-minute action taken, particularly by Assemblyman Yunt, had caused the consternation and a flurry of other meetings that finally resulted in what appears to be an equitable and amicable resolution by both parties.
Right. That's where the slogan, turn lanes instead of students, instead of teachers type thing. Because Yunt's amendment, and I think it was amendment number, there's amendment 8 and 5.
Right.
But Yunt's was amendment 8. He wanted to use $11 million for, quote, transportation, put it in the transportation budget. But that really was designed for school safety. And I think it was just a misunderstanding of the powers that the district has to manipulate its budget. It can't just take money out of nutrition and put it over here. You know, there's rules and accounting rules and regulations that you can't do that. And so after a lengthy meeting and talking and learning, that's when Mr. Yunt said, no, I understand more now. And he pulled Amendment 8, and then Mr. Sumner followed through by pulling his amendment number 5, which was about $1.5 million.
So I guess I'd like to step back for a moment here. We've covered in some detail the content, the specifics of what happened, with one exception. And here's where what we often refer to as process comes into play. When a major suggestion about a budget item is gaining some strength, typically what happens is that is researched, discussed, and it gets pushback, if necessary, from people who have more information. And that happens in an ongoing process. I think the interesting thing for me was that particularly Assemblymember Yunt's amendment came in a last minute, literally the last minutes of a meeting, when it was not something that the school district had been aware of and had been involved in the discussion, or it appeared other members on the assembly. So I'm thinking that maybe what the assembly would do is look at process and say, you know, we want to encourage some very good discussion on any of these ideas, but the timing matters. I think that's my takeaway. Timing really matters when you bring something up that's substantive. It does not leave enough room for good discussion.
That's a good point, Mike. And I guess my perception of this is that there were enough people at the table to come back together to kind of offset the right. off timing right. of that amendment and look at really how a budget works and what you're doing. And we're able to deploy, you know, these right size reserves and make it all work together.
Yeah.
So kudos to the group at large, because when you have, a rogue amendment like that at the very last minute, thank goodness we had some checks and balances in place that allowed for more conversation.
Very well taken, Emily. I would agree with you. Well, Mike Malevsky and Emily Forstner here with Big Cabbage Radio. And this session of Citizen Lobbyist has been focused on Tuesday's Metsu Borough Assembly meeting, the end of their budget process. We have a few minutes left. Any last comments you'd like to add to what we've said so far, Emily?
When I was talking to Mike Brown, he emphasized the fact that the borough works really hard to be responsible with the taxpayers' money. And that's one reason why this all kind of worked together, is that they had some reserves. They didn't deplete the reserves, but he used the word deployed. They deployed some of these reserves to balance it all out so that we can have a transportation budget that does allow for safe entry and exit into schools, but also supports our schools, and that in the end, the two work together.
Well said. Important point. A lot of good people did a lot of good work on bringing this budget. And, of course, we have this budget set, but the effects of all the decisions made will be felt beginning very soon through the borough, which begins, and the school district, which begins this new budget year on the 1st of July. But bottom line is, when we come to fall and kids are back at school and things are happening, then the ripples will be really felt.
Right. One last thought, and it goes with something I heard at the school board meeting last night. And Eldon Mulder, which is the district's lobbyist,
right.
He pointed out that, the state continues to flat fund and not get through education priorities like health care, like, the benefit issue with our teachers, sundry things. Our delegation gets stuck because their only focus, and I'm almost quoting Mr. Mulder, their only focus is the permanent fund dividend. And so until our delegation gets off that high centered point and looks at government as a whole, I think we can expect, conundrums such as this in the future.
Okay. Thank you. That's a perceptive observation, I believe. Well, Emily, thank you. Enjoy the rest of today. The sun is shining. It's looking gorgeous out there.
Yes, another beautiful, beautiful day, and a happy Labor Day weekend coming up.
All right.
So Memorial Day.
Yeah, you got it. Don't jump to Labor Day. Not yet.
Yeah.
All right.
Not yet. All right.
Stay well out there.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.